I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm tired of hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, all you motherfuckers.
Politics, politics, humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Bart Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hi, my name is Bart. Welcome to show number 41, Bart Cop Radio, often heard on bartcop.com. The show today is so big, I don't even want to tell you about it. Let's just get started. Shout out to Chinako. That's some fine stuff. Okay, here we go.
This is www.bartcop.com.
Did you see that lightning rod known as Al Gore a couple of days ago? It was the best I've ever seen him. Well, I would have liked to vote, I did vote for that guy, but I'd sure wish that was the candidate we had in 2000. He was up there breathing fire, saying they misled America. They dragged our reputation through the mud. They lied to us. They cost so many people their lives. They killed thousands of Iraqis, and it was all a lie. They ought not to be able to get away with it. We ought to be holding them accountable, and why are we sitting for Rumsfeld and these others having their jobs? He named Rumsfeld. He named Wolfowitz. He named that Barney Fife guy. He named all those people. He said, Condoleezza Rice screwed this whole thing up. Bush is an idiot. Never knew what he was doing. He lied us into this war when there was no reason to. He was going on and on, hammering, 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 bam, bam, bam. He was hitting them. Of course, I can't get a copy of this. The networks, the sons of, I don't know if they're doing it intentionally or not, but they'll come back from a commercial and they start with that. They don't say, whoa, in a few minutes we're going to give you some Al Gore like you've never seen before so I can get my tape player going. No, damn tape player takes 15 seconds to get started. So they come back from a commercial and there's Gore breathing fire and I'm hitting every damn button I can on the recorder trying to get it to record. But no, it doesn't work that way. I don't know if they're trying to, in that small way, protect Bush by not letting anyone get a copy of the Gore remarks. And wouldn't it be a nice somewhere in this whole country if there's some kind of repository, some vault that they put, where do all the radio stations and everybody else, where do they get all their clips? Do they have some $1,000-a-month service they sign up to? I can't, even a guy like Rush, he can't, I doubt if he's paying, what, 25 or 30 people to run 30 or 50 or 80 VCRs all at the same time. Hell, he's got to record the Today Show and Good Morning America and every radio show in the world. I mean, I just don't know how you can do that, but somewhere there's got to be a service in this country where you can get hold of these clips. I would really, really like to have a soundbite of that Gore clip. Oh, sure, I'll find one in October when it really counts, but it'd be nice to have one now, but no, can't get one now. And even, I know what you're saying, go to C-SPAN, why did, and they have video. Yeah, great. What am I going to do? Record the video and then hire an engineer to figure out how to extract the audio from the video? No, nothing works. That's rule number one. Damn it, nothing is easy. I just hate that sometimes, but we finally got to see the real Al Gore, or the Gore we wished we'd had. Maybe that's a better way to put it. He was just breathing fire if that was a candidate we had, but no, in 2000, what'd we have? Oh, I agree with the governor. That's what we had in 2000. And the thousands of punches that Al Gore took. How many thousands of times did they say he invented Love Canal and he invented the internet? And he just took it. He wouldn't fight back. No, he just laid there and smiled. Damn, I hate that. But now that he's out of office and has very little effect on things, now he's a fire-breathing dragon slayer. But no, just some things aren't to be. But it sure would be nice if I get hold of that. If anybody knows where a person can you get hold of some sound clips like that, it would be really nice. I could pay $5 a clip or something. You know, if there was a place or subscribe, maybe $50 a month. I can't go a whole lot on that, but if I could go somewhere and get the sound clips of the day, oh, that would be so nice. But no, that's only for Republicans, I guess. But if you missed Gore exploding all over Bush, well, you missed it. Of course, once I got that recorded, then I opened my mail, and I'll be darned if someone didn't send me the two clips I needed. Check this out. This is clip one. You can tell because there's two of them, and this one's first. This is Gore getting warmed up.
The abuse of the prisoners at Abu Ghraib flowed directly from the abuse of the truth that characterized the administration's march to war, and the abuse of the trust that had been placed in President Bush by the American people in the aftermath of September 11th. There was then, there is now, and there would have been, regardless of what President Bush did, a threat of terrorism that we would have to deal with. But instead of making it better, he has made it worse. We are less safe because of his policies. He has created more anger and righteous indignation against us as Americans than any leader of our country in the 228 years of our existence as a nation.
Okay, so he's picking up steam. Hope you got your asbestos mitts on, because Al's about to breathe some fire your way.
How dare they blame their misdeeds on young enlisted personnel from a reserve unit in upstate New York? How dare they say this is the work of a few bad apples among enlisted personnel? President Bush owes more than one apology. How dare the incompetent and willful members of this Bush-Cheney administration humiliate our nation and our people in the eyes of the world and in the conscience of our own people? How dare they subject us to such dishonor and disgrace? How dare they drag the good name of the United States of America through the mud of Saddam Hussein's torture prison.
Here's some more Al Gore talking about the shameful atrocities that Bush allowed at the Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq.
Moved around during the visits of the International Committee of the Red Cross so that they would not be available for interviews. Now, no one can claim that was the act of a few bad apples. That was policy set from above with the direct intent to violate U.S. values that they were claiming to uphold. This was the kind of policy that we see and criticize in places like China and Cuba. Moreover, the administration now has also set up the men and women of our own armed forces for payback the next time they are held as prisoners. And for that, the administration should pay a very high price. Moreover, one of the most tragic consequences of these official crimes is that it will be very hard for any of us as Americans, at least for a very long time, to effectively stand up for human rights elsewhere and criticize other governments when our policies have resulted in our soldiers behaving so monstrously. This administration has shamed America and has deeply damaged the cause of freedom and human rights everywhere, thus undermining the core message of America to the world.
I'd like to interrupt my good friend Al Gore, but doesn't it seem likely that the reason America is in this mess is because this snot-nosed little punk, this spoiled rich kid who has never in his life had to follow the rules, he's never been held accountable, he's always been a loose cannon in everything he's ever done, his daddy's written a check and bailed him out of. And now he finds himself the president, a job he didn't earn, a job that was handed to him by his daddy's rich friends, and he's still got this I'm a smart-ass little punk attitude. This stick a firecracker up the ass of a frog and throw it in the air and watch it explode and then giggle when he sees the little creature explode in 1,000 pieces. That's where this boy is mentally. He's thinking, Iraq, bad. Let's stick a firecracker in their ass and blow them up. They're not human beings. They're toys to be played with, toys to destroy. Have you ever in your life heard of some evil madman who giggled when he killed? I've never heard that Stalin giggled when he killed. I've never heard that about Hitler. I never heard that about Pol Pot. I never heard that about anybody. But the monkey we have, our illegal overlord, he likes to giggle when he kills. We've seen him do it 12 times. How scary is it to think this illegal monkey enjoys killing and giggling while he does it? And remember what a Republican quoted him as saying,
"Please don't kill me,"
when that Carla Faye Tucker was begging for her life down in Texas.
"Please don't kill me."
Maybe she was guilty. Maybe she needed to die. I don't know a lot of the details, but you don't take someone's life and then sit there in a little boy's voice and go,
"Please don't kill me,"
and then smirk. That's what Tucker Carlson said he did. Tucker Carlson, obviously not a Democrat, obviously wanting to do all he can to help Bush, but he was so appalled that the son of a bitch would sit there and giggle about the life and death that the state had put in his hand to make an intelligent decision, and he didn't even read the report. He just said, "Is the guy guilty? Yes, then kill him." That's how Bush governed in Texas.
"Please don't kill me."
Besides operating outside the bounds of decency, Bush has always operated outside the boundaries of the law. He didn't think the Geneva Convention applied to him any more than the drunk driving laws of Maine did, or the cocaine laws of Texas did, or the Constitution when it says you can't both run from the same state. All the laws he breaks, he's never ever been held accountable. And to this day, nobody in America can say how many times Bush has been arrested even, because we don't know, because the press is afraid to ask. He's just a wild little snot-nosed rich kid. He's running loose. He's running loose in the department store, breaking every toy he can find, taking toys away from the other kids and then breaking them, and then going to the next kid, taking his toys and breaking them, and going to the next kid and repeating that. Meanwhile, there's his dad following behind him, handing out $100 bills to the people who've been injured or had their property stolen by his snot-nosed little kid. Boy, this is a sick, sick man we got in the White House. I've never seen anybody who enjoyed killing as much as Bush. Back to Al.
President Bush offered a brief and half-hearted apology to the Arab world. But he should apologize to the American people for abandoning the Geneva Convention. He also owes an apology to the United States Army for cavalierly sending them into harm's way while ignoring the best advice of their commanders. And perhaps most importantly of all, he should apologize to all of those men and women throughout our world who have held high the ideal of the United States of America as a shining goal to inspire their own hopeful efforts to bring about justice under a rule of law in their lands. They are due an apology from this President of the United States. Of course, the problem with all these requests is that a sincere apology requires an admission of error, a willingness to accept responsibility, and to hold people accountable. And President Bush is not only unwilling to acknowledge error, he has thus far been unwilling to hold anyone in his administration accountable for the worst strategic and military miscalculations and mistakes in the entire history of the United States of America. He is willing only to apologize for the alleged erratic behavior of a few low-ranking enlisted people who he is scapegoating for his policy fiasco.
In December of 2000, even though I strongly disagreed with the decision by the U.S. Supreme Court to order a halt in the counting of legally cast ballots, I saw it as my duty to reaffirm my own strong belief that we are a nation of laws, and then not only accept the decision, but do what I could to prevent efforts to delegitimize George Bush as he took the office of president. I did not at that moment imagine that Bush would, in the ensuing presidency, demonstrate utter contempt for the rule of law and work at every turn to frustrate accountability in the exercise of power. And so, today, I want to speak on behalf of those Americans who feel that President Bush has betrayed our nation's trust, those who are horrified at what has been done in our name, and all those who want the rest of the world to know that we Americans see the abuses that occurred in the prisons of Iraq and Afghanistan and Guantanamo and secret locations as yet undisclosed as completely out of keeping with the character and basic nature of the American people and at odds with the principles on which America stands. I believe that we have a duty to hold President Bush accountable, and I believe we will. As Lincoln said at our time of greatest trial, we here hold the power and bear the responsibility. Thank you.
Al, that was a good performance and a great speech. I just wish it wasn't 4 years late. If you had given us that in 2000, you would have swayed a lot of minds. But in 2000, you were very sleepy, very shy. Now we've got Bush.
Untouchable. You think you're untouchable.
Headline, Singapore again allows sale of some chewing gum. What could be more dangerous than chewing gum? Singapore is lifting its ban on chewing gum after 12 years because getting a pack won't be hassle-free. Wait, does that make sense? Singapore is lifting its ban on chewing gum after 12 years. Oh, but getting a pack won't be hassle-free. Wrigley's Orbit gum has started appearing in pharmacies. What, you got to get a doctor's note to buy a piece of gum? But Singaporeans must submit, oh, I was joking, but it's true. Singaporeans must submit their names and ID cards to buy it. The Southeast Asian city-state outlawed the manufacture, import, and sale of chewing gum in 1992 after its founding father, Singapore's founding father is still alive, after its founding fathers complained that it was fouling streets, buildings, buses, and trains. The decision, you're going to love this, the decision comes after new trade talks that include pressure from U.S. Representative Phil Crane, Republican, Illinois, where Wrigley's gum is produced. Here's a headline for you. Thursday, May 27th, 2004. USA Today, quote, big headline, no decision made on interim leader for Iraq. Now, did you check out that date, May 27th? That means in 34 days, we're going to turn that whole mother of a mess. Remember they said it's bigger than Texas, or it's what, bigger than Alaska? Iraq's a monstrously huge place. And in 34 days, we're going to turn it over to some unlucky son of a bitch and say, take it away, it's all yours. But we don't know who. In 34 days, we're going to turn this thing that was life and death, that we had to plunge the whole planet into chaos because it was that important. Now we're going to turn it over to whichever poor bastard is standing there. Like I said before, musical chairs, whoever the poor guy is standing up when the music stops, they're going to hand him the car keys, say you're on your own, he's going to be dead before midnight. Now what do we got? Now we're going to start the search for a secondary interim, you know, this is such a monkey hand job. How, we're not ever going to get out of this. They don't have a clue. The big problem was he picked the date and stuck with it. He picked the date. Oh, perhaps, the Democrats say, there's a chance he perhaps had the political implications in mind when he picked the date. Duh, you think? What he should have done is said, he says we're going to pull the troops out when necessary, when we can. But instead of saying we're going to turn over power to them when they're ready, no, we're going to turn power over to them June 30th, no matter what. No matter if they're not ready, no matter if we're not ready. The monkey picked the date, and since he never changes his mind, he picks out a wrong course, and he stays with it no matter what. That's the plan. That's what we're going to do. We're going to turn it over to somebody. We don't know who. And, of course, the Democrats were silent about it. They see nothing wrong with turning over this whole mess to somebody. And Blair said in the last show, if they want us to leave, we'll leave. Well, hey, okay. New guy gets in, says leave. Now what? Are we going to leave? We're just going to leave that whole country to fall into a three-way civil war and total chaos? Because of Bush's stupidity, the country is now overrun by these wacko religious terrorists. And all they got to do is declare themselves the winner with their AK-47s. You going to stop them? You going to stop them? You going to stop them? So all of a sudden, these hand jobs, these religious crazies, the Berg beheaders are going to be in charge of Iraq the minute we leave. Bush has built the biggest mess in the world. Oh, but it's not as serious as Monica's dress. Now, there is a crisis. Just ask any reporter. The whores. In my opinion, a lot of people get incredibly angry and totally irrational and illogical when the subject of Kobe Bryant comes up. But what, once a month, am I allowed to bring it up? Would once a month just make you go crazy and cancel your subscription? Today is the 27th. The news hit today or yesterday, depending if you're in L.A., that when the victim, unquote, went to do her rape kit at the police examiner's emergency room, whatever, she had semen on her body since the Kobe Bryant attack. So, I don't know, let's say argument's sake, the attack was it, the attack in quotes, was at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday. She went to the cops Wednesday afternoon, and she had sex with a different man between the Kobe and the examination. Now, this is a lot of trouble, but how in the world are you going to pin vaginal tears or bruises or whatever on Kobe if she had sex with another guy? You just can't do that. You can't claim, I got beat up in a fight, and after I got beat up in a fight, I went and looked for another fight and got beat up some more, and now I'm going to the emergency room to say that the first guy's wounds are all over me. Well, who knows which guy caused the trouble? This case couldn't hardly get worse. But this Kobe deal, it looks like, I heard in the Air America radio today coming home, they said the judge admonished the prosecution again for dropping the ball. Their words, not mine, dropping the ball again. They keep screwing up everything. They're so late with all their tests and turning over stuff, and they've again and again and again, the judge has had to scold them for, why don't you do your job? You're not being very professional here. And it looks to the casual observer like myself, 1,000 miles away, who doesn't know the facts of the case, who hasn't seen any evidence, it really looks like the Colorado cops wanted Kobe so bad. Oh my God, it's a black guy. He's a superstar. Just like that Judge Moose. Oh, I can write a book like that Sneddon guy that's going after Michael Jackson. Oh, I get to write a book, and I'm going to be on Larry King. I'm going to be on Today Show, and I'll have an interview with Diane Sawyer, and I'll be a little media star, and then they'll make a movie, and I get to pick who's going to play me in the movie, and I'll be so famous, I'll get a new house. And the facts of the case, that don't matter too much, but if I can hang the guy, if I can create a scenario upon which the guy is found guilty, now I'm going to be a superstar, I'm going to be rich, I'll run for governor, I'll run for Senate. That monkey Judge Moore down in Alabama, he saw that stupid Rock is his ticket to the big time. I seem to be one of the few people that noticed that when these guys get going, I think it's Bart's Law number 2. When you make a mistake, every time you make a mistake that puts more money or power or fame in your pocket, you're going to make that mistake again and again and again. So that Sneddon guy, he's got to get Michael Jackson. He can't be a superstar without it. He can't write a book without it. He can't make $1 million without it. He's not going to be on Larry King without it. Same way I have a feeling with these cops in Colorado. The way I remember the story, they arrested Kobe before they had the test back. This girl's word was good enough for them. They went and arrested a superstar millionaire with no evidence except a girl's suggestion, a girl's not under oath testimony, whatever you want to call it. It was a he said, she said, and they go and arrest them. That sounds like what they did to Mark Burkell. His ex-wife had a problem, so she told the cops, hey, Mark's a bad man. They said, hey, enough said. We'll go arrest him. And so he sat 3 days in the jail in L.A. because his wife made a claim that wasn't true. I'm not anti-women, not at all. I'm pro-evidence. I'm pro-Constitution. And if this Kobe girl, that's not fair, if this Kobe accuser had sex between the time of her, quote, rape and her investigation, you can't put anything on Kobe. I'm not pro-Kobe. I'm not pro-basketball. I'm not pro-man. I'm not anti-woman. I'm not pro-rape. But you just can't do that. We'll see how it ends up eventually. I mean, we'll never know if he did it or not. All we can find out is how the all-white jury saw it. Oh, geez. But yes, it would appear, again, to the outside observer, that the Colorado cops got a little eager. Somebody saw some dollar signs, somebody saw their name in lights, and they just went full speed into the darkness, not knowing where they were going, but they didn't mind calling a press conference to announce they had decided before the tests were back and before any evidence was gathered that Kobe was guilty, and they've been in the newspapers ever since.
Giving Ditto Monkeys the red ass. It's Bart Cop.